Eisner tells me an anecdote about his grandparents. My grandfather rescued Jews from Germany, then Hungary. He brought Jews to this country. My grandmother would say, "They never even sent me a thank you note. They weren't appreciative." I thought, "You don't do it for the appreciation. You saved their lives. They're assimilated. Don't expect them to thank and honor you. Just let them be." He adds that his grandmother always tipped waiters before rather than after the meal. "You get better service," she'd told him. In contrast to his grandmother, Eisner says he neither sought nor expected any thanks from Roy. Still, he never thought he would turn against him. "Roy and Patty do not know what I had to do to change Roy's image in the company," he says. He launches into the saga of Fantasia 2000. His attempt to get Leonard Bernstein involved before the maestro's death, and describes how the animators revolted against his idea for the pomp and circumstance sequence, and the idea that Disney characters might have babies. "I can't really blame Roy for Fantasia," Eisner concedes, but then proceeds, "All my ideas disappeared, so I gave up. Bernstein would have made it commercially successful. Fantasia 2000 lost a fortune. Stanley saw in a board meeting that it lost $100 million. He called me up. 'Never let my client do something like that again,' he said." Eisner said Gold often called, urging him to keep a close eye on Roy. "You know Roy, he doesn't care about money. Roy cares about art," Gold said, according to Eisner. "We could not have picked two better adversaries," Eisner says of Roy and Gold. "It's not like they're Warren Buffett and Tom Murphy. Stanley says, 'Now I'm free and can talk,' but they've been talking all along." Eisner confirms that Ray Watson reported on his lunch meeting with Gold. "Stanley told Ray, 'You, Tom Murphy, and I are going to go in and fire Michael,'" Eisner says. "I thought, what ingratitude after what I've done. You see your true friends when you're in the foxhole." I asked Eisner about the reforms that stripped Gold of his power and forced Roy off the board. "I didn't set a trap," Eisner says. "We put in strong rules. We had to. I've led the charge. The shareholders were expecting this. You want current, up-to-date governance. True, a lot of the new rules caused Stanley to become impotent. He could not be on the compensation committee or governance. Stanley feels he was marginalized. The board, having been abused by Stanley, had to deal with this." As for Roy, he was over 73, and the committee said no exceptions, Eisner said. "We talked about making him a director emeritus, but he couldn't be a voting member. Some board members said to the committee, 'Is it worth it? Why not give him another year?' The board disagreed." Eisner says he was concerned at the time, but now that Roy has resigned, "I'm glad it happened. And Gold's resignation was a gift. We finally had a board meeting that was intelligent and calm." It's a brilliant sunny winter afternoon as I ride with Eisner in the SUV to Times Square and a table read of the musical Tarzan, which Disney hopes to open on Broadway in the fall of 2005. He seems in a pensive mood. "This business is changing," he observes. "I'm not sure you're going to see another chief."